with some things that stir in our hearts. And some of this came through a minister's retreat Brother Buddy and I went to a couple months ago, a book that we read together that all of the ministers read together. Just really challenged us. And one of the things that it challenged us on was this issue of making sure that we knew what the focus and the emphasis and the vision of our ministry was and clearly communicated that. The Old Testament scriptures say that the messenger should write the vision so that he who runs will know how to run. And so this morning, you're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed together as Brother Buddy shares about the vision of Christian Challenge. Why don't you bless him as he comes up? God bless Brother Buddy.
All right. Thank you, Jesus. I've asked the Lord to help me not to weep and cry. Everything is just flowing so wonderful together this morning with the worship and saying everything goes in line with what I want to share with you. And I'm going to share just for a little while, and then we'll have a question and answer part. I want to have a little interaction with you. And then Brother Nathan's going to come and share. But I want to take you to Isaiah 52, if you'd go with me there, please. And while you're going there, I want to mention that the hardest work that a Christian will ever do is to try to do something on your own. You have no grace for that, and you will burn yourself out and wear yourself out just by trying to mimic somebody else or trying to do something God didn't give you to do. If God gives it to you to do, you're going to have to walk through it and process it, but it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be a lot of blessings in it. And it'll be a great opportunity. Now, he'll have to sneak up on you a lot of times. He had to sneak up on me. And he'll do that, though, because he doesn't tell you everything ahead of time. But in time, you'll begin to see what the Lord's doing in your life. Let me read these scriptures. Isaiah 52, 6 through 10. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. Break forth and shout joyfully together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of our God. That's the theme scriptures for Christian Challenge, and that's where the song came from. Yesterday, I came up to the office to look for a computer program that that Nathan got for me a couple of years ago. I never have used it, but I'm going to have to either get an upgrade or start using it, where I can kind of program where you talk into and it writes out things for you. I'm going to be doing a lot of writing and be months, years ahead, hopefully. But anyway, when I was going through the desk drawers of my credenza, I came across a batch of pictures. They were so big that when I tried to pick them up, they just fell all over the place. I gathered them up after stooping down several times, bring them to my desk, started to look through them, and they're pictures of you and of Christian Challenge from the very earliest times. And I sat at my desk, and the tears just poured from my eyes as I looked at you, all of you. All of you that were here over the years, saw you dancing, saw you doing different things, saw Janae, the young teenage girl, young woman, Sister Elaine, and heard some of her dancing mood, and Brother James, I don't think he had any gray hair at all back then, and in fact, I didn't have any either, come think of it. But I walked through all those pictures, and I just sat there, and I thought to myself how wonderful it would have been if I could have taken these pictures, a lot of them, and put them as an overhead and just under the caption, do you remember? Do you remember? Because some of you, or quite a few of you of the old school, have been with us, have been in this ministry, have been assigned to this ministry for a long, long time. But anyway, the memories flooded, and I thought through the history of Christian Challenge. We were 2.5 years in Boyce. That's where Christian Challenge actually started, in Boyce. We were 8 years in the Rennie Company building. A lot of you folks may not know where that is now, but it's a two-story building. When you were 28 intersects with the Pineville Expressway, that two-story building, I think there've been attorneys in there since then, and a bridal bouquet place in there. Well, that was our building. We had that entire building for 8 years. And then from there, we went to Pine Plaza Mall, and we were in Pine Plaza Mall. It had two sides of that mall. We were there for 3 years. And then in 1990, we came to this building, and we've been in this building 15 and a half years. So that's the time frame that that we've had. The ancient writer said that a man's steps are ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his way? And I made a comment in the bulletin, is the longer I walk with the Lord, the more convinced I am that chance has no place in the Christian walk. How many of you folks are pretty well convinced of that? That there's no chance. There's ordained. You're not here by accident. You're not part of this ministry by accident. You're here by ordination. Your life was ordained to the Lord from a long time ago. And our service, of course, going to be a little different because what I want to do, first of all, I want to explain, walk you through just a little bit of history of Christian Challenge. And then I want you to respond with questions if you have any. And then Nathan is going to share and explain the opportunities for service. It's not going to be drawn out, but the purpose is to reacquaint you with the original vision of this ministry and how God is calling us to readjust our path. A lot of times a ministry can lose focus of its true calling and try to be all things to all people, and you end up not doing the best you can with what God's given you to do. So we are actually reaffirming our call to Christian Challenge, and everything in this ministry from this day forward is going to have to fit into the calling of nurturing and mentoring disciples. Well, we've done that pretty well, but whatever trimming we have to do, we will do. We're not going to cut out anything that we need. But we are re-looking at everything. There are no sacred cows in this ministry. And we just have this from the Lord to readjust the vision and explain to you the vision of the ministry. Pray with me if you would, please. We're going to talk about the vision of Christian Challenge. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we sang our song this morning, I do what I do often, Lord. I just began to weep, but I thank you. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the many people that have been part of the congregation who are serving you in other bodies and serving you in other labors and other ministries. Thank you for all of them, Lord. Thank you for the calling of the Lord. We cannot do anything without you, Lord. We're painfully aware of that and becoming more aware of it over the years, that you are the one who ordains and directs the man's path, especially those who are yours. We thank you, Lord, for it. Help me to share this morning that it will be a blessing and benefit to all that are here. I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to share just a little bit of scripture as I take you through the history of Christian Challenge, but I want to talk about this issue of a man's steps being ordained, a woman's steps being ordained of the Lord. So where do you begin? I'm trying to find a beginning place for this ministry. Well, it's hard to find a beginning place because I will give you a beginning point, but Paul said he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So something happened before the foundation of the world that involved this ministry and that involved you personally. But Paul said something else. He said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you would walk in them." That tells us, first of all, we were chosen in Christ for the foundation of the world. Secondly, there are works that God has given us to do that I would suggest come into two classifications. One is the general works of the new covenant, things we're led by the Holy Spirit to do as new covenant, blood-bought people of God. Then there are specific works that God gives you to do, which are called stewardships. That is, God will entrust something to your care, to your hand, in a way of ministry, and then it becomes to you, I hate to use the word obligation, but it comes to you an issue of responsibility, of authority, and of special blessedness. You've heard me talk many times about we entered the gate of Miracle Land in 1975 when we left Lafayette, and in all these many years, I have never felt like what we were doing was a chore. We've had a lot of battles. We've had a lot of struggles. But let me tell you the secret, folks. There had been a blessing resting upon our life ever since he opened that gate for us to begin ministry. We have been blessed far beyond anything. And I'm not talking about material goods and things. Well, our needs have always been met. The Lord has always met them. It's just a blessed walk to walk when you're walking in the center of God's will. And that's not hard to find because the Bible says he works his will in you. And so we have this issue that God has given us a stewardship. God has given us a ministry. God has given us good works to do, and He works those works in us. So Christian Challenge, folks, is a stewardship. It was a stewardship. I want to give you a couple of scriptures. I don't have much in scripture to share with you, but if you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse number 25, then I'll bring you back to another one in just a moment. But Colossians 1, verse 25, where Paul uses the term stewardship, which is an interesting Greek word, by the way. It speaks of household management. But in verse 25, Paul says, "Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship." So the minister has a stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. So Paul talked about a stewardship, but now he says something else about his stewardship. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and listen where Paul keys in a little more carefully on this. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 16, 17, Paul said, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." So here he's talking about responsibility. That the calling God gave him was a stewardship, and he was responsible for that stewardship. And so, but he uses the word voluntary. Folks, I didn't volunteer for Christian Challenge. In fact, the Lord had to sneak up on my blind side, so to speak. I had been in the ministry several years. I had left the ministry. I went into business for myself. I preached out and preached around when it was in a local church under a pastor. Had no intention of going back in the ministry. Didn't want to go back into ministry. Didn't want to bring my family through that again. Because we were in the ministry before, and it was a great suffering time for us. A lot of things we didn't understand about the ways of the Lord. And so our average income was $50 a week. We preached revivals all over the country, pastored a little country church. And I had no intention, no desire to go back in the ministry again. But something happened that I'll share briefly, just some high points of the testimony. Is that through a transition of events, where I'm at home, we're at home, we're not in any church at that particular time. We had just resigned from the church that we had been serving with for 3 years, not as pastor, but as kind of an assistant, I guess you could call it that. We're at home, and I'm playing the guitar, singing to the Lord, and I'm singing a song, "The Battle of Armageddon." And the Holy Spirit comes on me, and I have this strong impulse, this irresistible notion that we needed to go home. I didn't know why. Now, we were in Lafayette, in home, Central Louisiana. I didn't know why. Why was this so important? But it was so important that I couldn't shake it off. So we went and took our kids out of school. Betty and I and her three children. Shannon was just a tiny thing at that time. And we headed north. And in my mind, so you're always trying to figure out what God's doing. You're going to do it. I did it. It just comes with who we are. So we're trying to figure out God's plan. So we headed north. What we didn't know was that there was a little country Pentecostal church. They called it Red Top Church. It had a red top at one time, more Pentecostal church. They had been praying for a pastor. They had lost their pastor. They didn't have a pastor. A brother named Brother Edward was there doing a seminar with them, but helping to pray for a pastor. I didn't know they were praying for a pastor. He had asked him the question, "Will you accept whoever God sends?" And they said yes. "How about if he sends a black man?" They said yes. I'm just telling you what was going on in that church. "We will accept whoever God sends." Well, see, I didn't know anything about what's going on that end. God doesn't always tell you ahead of time what's going on. So in my mind, I was going to go back through all the churches that I had evangelized, that I had pastored over the years, and share with them what God had put on my heart. That wasn't His plan. We drove into my sister's house, looked across the street where that little Pentecostal church was. The lights were on. It wasn't a night for service. And so we left our kids with my sister, Bertie Vey. Wife and I went across the street, went in the church. They were already in service, sat on the back, didn't know why we were there. And the minister was preaching. He knew me, or ministering. And he says, "Brother Martin, do you have anything you want to say?" And I stood up and I says, I don't know why God sent me. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here." And people started weeping. They started crying in the congregation. You know why? Because their pastor, they knew the voice of their pastor. I mean, it was Jesus. You understand, I'm not Jesus, but they understood. And so here I am all of a sudden. I have a business in Lafayette, made more money than I ever made in my life. And God wanted me to come pastor a little Pentecostal church in the country that never had a full-time pastor. Their entire offering for that whole month was $300. And God was calling me to pastor that little church. So for 6 months, we drove 120 miles one way, 240 miles round trip every weekend to pastor that little church. And I argued with God every time we went up there almost until we hit a cow. We hit a cow and the windshield busted out, glass went everywhere, and nobody was hurt. Cow happened to belong to one of my daddy's first cousins, and she got money out of me for that. So that cow was like one of their kids raising her home, a bunch of baloney. But anyway, we paid for the cow. But I'm still wrestling with God. And let me tell you why I wrestled with God. I was always afraid I would hurt somebody. Because, you see, folks, you need to understand something about the preacher's calling and the desk of God. This is a sacred place, and the people you're talking to are sacred people. They belong to God. They're His children. They are His sheep. And you have to be careful what you say to them and how you minister and how you teach them. I was always so afraid I would hurt somebody. I would say something stupid. You know, this is why when I sense somebody's been hurt, I usually will seek them out to find out what the issue is. Now, some people bring their own hurts in their own life, and you can't control that. But God will help them. So I'm on the platform, and I'm still arguing with God, and all of a sudden the Spirit of Jesus speaks to my heart, and He says, I have given you the heart of a pastor. And the moment the voice of Christ spoke to me, my attitude changed. Everything inside of me changed. My personality changed. I knew then that I was a pastor. God had called me for a pastor. But that was only a step. That was part of the step. And so what happened was we went full-time with this little church that never had a full-time pastor. We sold our home in Lafayette, made enough profit. We bought a trailer, gave it to the church, used it as a parsonage, used the money that we had to get started. And God literally baptized me in His Word. When I say baptize me, I'm telling you something, folks. If you ever got a call to the ministry, God's going to baptize you in His Word. I was saturated with the Word of God. I stayed, studied, prayed, listened to tapes, listened to good teaching. Read good books, but I studied the Scriptures just hours upon hours upon hours. God was preparing me, because if He's going to baptize, if He got something to say to His people, He wants to say it through somebody who's got the Word of God working actively in their life. So that went on. And then what happened was that He began to lead us to, we were to establish a ministry in Boise. I went to Boise looking for a place to, and at first, I really was going to be an outreach, kind of a branch of the Mora Church. We never set it up that way. I went to Boise, and there was an old store building there that had been owned by Johnny Polkenback, who was of the Czech community. I'm not even pronouncing his name right. I wouldn't have how they pronounce it, but we all call him Polkenback. He had an old store. He had been dead for years and years. His wife was still living. She worked at the lunchroom of the school, and she's a very sweet lady. And the Lord kept bringing me to that building. There's a picture of that building, by the way, in one of the brochures you have. Actually, originally it had another wing on it. He kept bringing me to that building. That building was in sad shape. I mean, even without going inside, the front step area was was rotting out. I went and talked to Ms. Polkenback, and she didn't want to rent it out, so I figured, well, God couldn't have been in that. But He kept pressing me. He's going to press you on issues, folks. I went back to her, and about the third time I talked to her, she finally agreed to let us at least rent the building from her, and we rented it. Ms. Polkenback told me when we left, we were there 2.5 years, she said, Brother Martin, the best thing that ever happened, she was a Catholic lady, never came to one service of our church. She told me before we left, she said, Brother Martin, the greatest thing that ever happened to me is when we gave you that, let you lease that building. He said, God has blessed my family ever since then. There's Bible for that, folks. When you bless the carrier of the gospel, and I'm not asking you to do anything for me. I'm just telling you there's a biblical principle that when you learn to bless the gospel carrier, God's going to especially bless your home. When you learn to give according to the working of the Spirit, God's going to bless you. And He had blessed her. So we were there in that ministry for that particular area for 2.5 years. And over by the front door, because God had told me in my heart, my impressions were to raise up a training ministry on the order of the school of the prophets. Well, I wasn't a prophet. I've never considered myself to be a prophet in that sense. Well, I'm not. I didn't know what He meant by that. I just knew He was telling me to do something. He had to put the pieces together. So we were there. I put a sign by the front door on the right-hand side. I don't know why anybody would want to come to that old dilapidated building. But anyway, School for Christian Workers. Well, I was the student. Pardon me. I was the student being trained. We had a sign out there that said, welcome to Coffee Zone. We wanted truckers to come in. We had a little bookstore that was there. We wanted folks to come in, and the coffee was free. We wanted to be able to... And we had a lot of history. If I told you something that happened, that it would astound you, the things that took place at Boys. And also at the Rennie Company building. But anyway, we were there for a year, and we started a branch ministry. And we started another ministry, Christian Challenge Ministry, in Natchitoches. So what was happening at that time, during that time, I was ministering full-time 7 times a week. I mean, I'm not talking about little sermonettes or little Bible studies. I'm talking about full-blown pray 5 or 6, 7 hours of study. 7 times a week, I was ministering. I was ministering in Boys. I was ministering in Natchitoches. I was ministering in Manny. I was Melvin Tisdale asked me to teach for them on Tuesday mornings. I was teaching at the Charismatic Teaching Center on Tuesday morning. And then a brother over here in Ball asked me to minister for them. He wanted me 2 times a week. I came 1 time a week. It all happened during this time, but see, it was good for me. The preacher is blessed because it makes you study, it makes you seek God, it makes you get before God. It was good for me. And we never pass offering plates, and we don't to this day, folks, and don't intend to do it. There's nothing wrong with it. For me, it's wrong. For me. And so, we were in Natchitoches. And the interesting thing, God blessed us. We ended up with a house with 5 acres, with horses right there on the, it was made available to us right there on Cane River. A lot of things we could have done, but what was happening, I was getting extended and stretched out so far, I began to have dreams and visions again, and God's always dealt with me in dreams and visions. I began to have dreams and visions that we were to relocate the ministry. So we closed down the Natchitoches ministry. I started pulling my reins on these other ministries, and God very accurately deals with me in dreams and visions, very accurately. And he told us to lift our, in the vision, he told me to lift up my eyes towards Pineville. So October 1978, we relocated from Boys to Pineville. And what happened was we started the church service in Boys. We caravanned to Pineville. You folks remember because James and Patsy was part of the latter part of the ministry. They were the last year that we were in Boys. They became, I think, in June or June, July. Oh, in August. August of 78. They became part of the ministry. We caravanned from Boys to, had a communion service from Boys to the Rennie Company building. And so we were there 8 years. That's where Elaine and Janae, her family, became part of the Christian Challenge ministry. I'll never forget when Elaine first came and talked to me, very, very humble in heart. But I'd already heard some things about Elaine. I'll tell all this. I mean, she was in business, and I mean, she was a businesswoman. You just didn't get in her way. One realtor told me, you don't ever want to go head on head with Elaine because you're going to lose the case. But see, Elaine owned Area One Realtors, I believe was the name of the business, right? And the Zito, that's when they came in. And Sister Julie came in, and she was a part of there. How many of you folks were part of the Christian Challenge at the old Rennie Company building? Let me see your hand. See, here we go. We got different ones that were, you were really part of the ministry years ago. A lot of our missionaries came out of that group. Sister Flo and her family and her mother, Oma, became baptized, all of them, during that time. And if you don't know their testimony, they have an awesome, awesome testimony. Oma's got a precious testimony, just awesome. She was in the work camps, slave labor camps, I guess you can call it, during World War II. And she decided there wasn't a God. God could not be in all of this mess. Well, he wasn't satisfied with that. And so he brings her over here to the United States, brings her a little old bitty church to visit. I guess I don't know who put pressure on her to come. But she ended up turning to Jesus, got baptized her, baptized her daughter, baptized her grandchildren, grandson married my daughter, and just, see, the steps of a man are ordained. I think the Lord was in all of this. So we were 8 years there in the Rennie Company building. All the time God was blessing us. I want to bring out something real quickly. When we first started Christian Challenge, I knew I had a need for somebody to work with me. I just felt it in my heart, just like a Moses and, you know, and a Joshua or Paul and his work or whatever. I felt like I needed a man. You know, my wife, we all were very close, but I needed somebody to help carry the ministry load. And I was praying and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, send me somebody. I said, Lord, you understand me. Sometimes I think out loud. I'm not making decisions, but if folks don't understand that, they're going to get all confused over what I'm talking about sometimes. Because I'm just articulating things that's in my mind. Well, a big old man walks in my door. His name's Joe Garlington, out at Boys. And I was still pastoring the Pentecostal church at the time. Joe Garlington became my associate there, and he also became my youth director at the Pentecostal church and was with me for a long time. And then different ones came in. Had a gentleman came in that owned an airplane. He made that airplane. He flew us. wherever we needed to go. His name's Grady Bates. At one time, he had one of the biggest transmission shops in this part of the country. And God raised him up. I call these people sons of peace. They are especially called of God to do special things for the ministry, not just the minister, not just to make the minister live good and eat good and dress good and smell good and be pretty. Forget all that. That's not the purpose, folks. There's a gospel. There's feet that need to go on the mountains and need to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God ordains people to help with whatever that may be, to help with the gospel. And I, you know, there's some things I just won't share, but there's a lot of people here. God's ordained you and picked you to do specific things that were not something you would have normally done. But because the burden of the heart was so strong from the Lord for you to do it, in your obedience, you obeyed the Lord and the blessing of God came. And that's how we have functioned over these many years. There's things I would like to share, but I'm probably not supposed to, so I'll be very careful in that. But anyway, we had our ministry beginning to form. The old building we got into, I'm going back and forth a little bit. The beams had rotted out on the floor of it. We had to replace beams in that thing. We put that building together with bubblegum baling wire, folks, for all practical purposes. Twine and string. And I did all the paint, the artwork that was in there. You should have seen some of the artwork that was in there, folks. But I used overhead projectors. I was blessed. But anyway, we ended up here in Pineville. See, our whole congregation, folks, at Boyce came from Alexander and Pineville. What happened was we turned over about three times. We bought some theater chairs in Colfax and brought them in, 80 theater chairs, and brought them to that old building. All of a sudden, before it came time for us to relocate, all of a sudden, by a mandate of God, people started coming from everywhere. From LeCount, from Pineville, from Alexander, from Grant Parish, and they packed that, filled that building up. And those 80 chairs were filled up almost instantly. We had a lot of hallelujah times there, folks. Now, we're not trying to recapture that in the sense of going, you don't ever go back, but what you do is pick up the vision and go on with the joy and the excitement of the Lord. Anyway, we came to Pineville. We were there for 8 years at the rental company, and then we went to Pine Plaza on Military Highway. Anybody here that came part of the ministry when we were at Pine Plaza? Anybody? Okay, yes, Sister Nelly Grace. Nathan got married. See, during that time, Nathan was actually in Mexico. Nathan went to Mexico, went to language school. That's a wonderful story by itself, and I'm trying to condense things a bit. But Nathan, when he went to language school, he sold his pickup truck and he bought him a scooter. And he paid. Mom and Daddy were the only ones that helped him. I didn't ask the church to ever do anything for Nathan. We helped him in that. He found a job. In fact, worked for Lori's dad. And then Nathan came back for a little while. Then he went down to Mexico. He was there several years, and he helped start 13 churches. He was our first missionary. Now, we had several missionaries that came out of there. David came out of there. Was missionary to Japan. Met his wife in this ministry. I married them. And he went off to Japan. Stand up, Brother David. Stand up, sweet lady. You got your wife. You both of you stand up. Let's give them a hand clap. They served 12 years in Japan and came back with, I don't know where they got these three boys from. They got them over in Japan, I guess, and got those three boys back. And, of course, Nathan was down in Mexico several years, and, you know, he's got his beautiful young daughters now. We've had many others. I have to restrain myself on sharing what God did. We had a man named John Vanderreet. How many folks remember John Vanderreet? John Vanderreet was with Youth for the Mission. We were at Boyce. They were traveling through and got on the wrong road and passed by that little storefront building, and the Holy Spirit moved on them to stop and come back. They came in. I wasn't impressed with John Vanderreet. I'll just be honest with you. I just wasn't that impressed with him. And I was more impressed with the other guy. He became an Episcopal priest later. But I believe Episcopal. But anyway, visited with them. They were going to Bethany Baptist Church to show some films. John Vanderreet ended up going to Austria, Yugoslavia. He was a kind of a world traveler, single boy. It was during a rainstorm, I think in during a rainstorm, they were in the back of a pickup truck, some of the workers, and the Holy Spirit came on him and told him, I want you to go to Boys. I want you to sit under that minister. I want you to listen to what I have to say to you. Now, when God spoke to him, he had already spoken to me that he was sending John. I'm telling you, these are interesting things, the way the kingdom of God works, folks. He had already told me that John Vanderreet was going to be coming. Well, John did come, and he was on our staff twice. He was on our staff out at Boyce. He was on our staff when we were over at the Renton Company building for a while. You both all remember that. He always said he was going to marry continentally. He'd never marry somebody from the States. He wanted to marry somebody continental from Europe. Well, he married a little French girl from from New Orleans. And she tuned him up well, I'm telling you. God had his own ideas of continentals. So anyway, John's a sweetheart. John was our missionary too. He went to Russia. And Janie Latchley, you remember Janie Latchley, received her training here. Went to Mexico. Then she ended up going to Russia. Did some work in China. She's back in the States now. Brother John Vanderreet's back in the States. He's down in Florida, pastoring church there. Brother Alan Stroud, everybody knows Brother Alan, one of our earlier disciples. In fact, I've got a letter from Alan a little later we're going to put up here. Wrote me last night. And Alan left here to pastor Congregational Methodist Church. He was there for 12 years. He's in San Antonio, Texas right now, raising up a brand new ministry. Bearing fruit in the sense of ministry, a church should be bearing the fruit of ministry. Not only ministry, but ministers. It's really part of who we are. You give birth to ministries. So anyway, we came to Pierce Road 15 and a half years here at Pierce Road. Our school has remained the heart of this ministry. Let me tell you the truth, folks. I have had people come through the Disciples Heart class that have told me, and they came out of Bible college, told me that they learned more of a spiritual value in the Disciples' Heart class than they did in 2 years of Bible college. I've had more than one tell me that. One was our youth leader for a while. He's in Canada now. He told me he learned more. I'm not talking about all the intricacies and all about being a minister, but I'm talking about of a spiritual value. Some of you folks haven't been through the Disciples' Heart course in a while. You need to get back through that. It will tune you up. But anyway, that's where we have been. Where are we now? Well, we are at a time of readjustment. We're at a time, the Bible says, where there is no vision in the King James, said the people perish. In the New American Standard, it said, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. And my point is that it's very easy for a church to lose. In fact, I think we're in a danger zone right now in American churches. If you're not careful, American churches can really become social units. And they're only trying to meet the needs of everybody, and they're not really preaching the gospel the way they need to be. They're concentrating. Some of the fastest growing churches now have become social elites, basically. People are running there because of all the different fun programs they have. But folks, we have a challenge and a stewardship that's given to the church, not just Christian Challenge. We are not to lose our vision. And so that's where we are. So our readjustment has to fit in the stewardship of Christian Challenge. Everything that we do has to fit in with the idea of nurturing and mentoring disciples for the kingdom of Jesus. Can you say amen? Now, if you come back, I'm just going to spend just probably 5 minutes or less or around that on this scripture that I read to you. Come back to Isaiah 52. This was the first song that I wrote for the ministry. Came out of this. And the Lord, like a flood of songs were coming at that time for me. Now, Isaiah 52 is a prophetic text, and the reason it is so unique is because it's talking about the New Covenant Church, the work that you're going to be doing throughout the age until the gospel comes to Jerusalem. How many folks know that? Where did it begin? It began in Jerusalem. Where did the gospel message begin? It began in Jerusalem. Where does the gospel message need to end? It has to end in Jerusalem. The work is not done until Jerusalem can say to the Lord, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Baruch Haba Bashem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Until they say that, officially recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Blessed One, that he is the Messiah, that he is God incarnate and God manifest, till they come to the place of saying that, the work is not finished. And that's the direction the gospel is going in these last days. It has been circumventing the world. And it's got to end up in the hardest place on this planet to preach Jesus Christ. That's in a city called Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. And so in Isaiah 52, you're looking at a very unique text, because if you'll notice where it says, how beautiful upon the mountains, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. That's quoted by Paul in Romans chapter 10. Now, if you hold Isaiah 52, go with me to Romans 10. I want you to see this. Paul lifts it right into its New Testament, New Covenant setting in Romans chapter number 10. Look at verse number 15. For the Scripture says, Whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Folks, the gospel is good news to a dying planet. It is not a message of condemnation. It is the gospel. It is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so this is what he's talking about over here in Isaiah 52. Now, if you go back to Isaiah 52, it tells you where our joy is, verse number 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. The word mountain there means kingdoms. It refers to the kingdoms of the earth. Who announces peace, who brings good news of happiness. Can we bring good news of happiness? Happiness is in Jesus. And says to Zion, your God reigns. Now listen carefully to where our joy is. Verse 8, listen. Your watchmen lift up their voices. They shout joyfully together, for they will see with their own eyes when the Lord restores Zion. When the Lord restores Zion. Zion's a key phrase for Jerusalem. It can refer to the church, but in this context it refers to Jerusalem. And so in verse number 10, you notice it says, the Lord hath bared his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, that all the ends of the earth may see the salvation of the arm. The holy arm of God is the Messiah, Jesus. The message is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when it talks about his holy arm, this is a reference to the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Now let me quote you a scripture, because I only have two more I want to share with you, and I'm going to quit. Jesus, I'm sure, wept through tears. He said this, Jerusalem, this is in Matthew 23, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, we have to be careful, folks. And I'm going to end with this and ask you to respond if you'd like to. We are in a very dangerous time for the church. And the reason I say that is because the true gospel message is being set over to the side. And if you listen to the airwaves, you're hearing all kinds of sounds like happy news, but it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ that you're listening to. You're hearing a lot of prosperity preaching, a lot of all these kinds of preaching. That's not the message God gave us. There is prosperity in Jesus, but that's not the message that brings repentance and brings the turning of the lost to the Lamb. There has to be the message of the cross. And so, let me give you two scriptures that Paul said about this, and then we'll share with one another. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where Paul gives the cautions and gives the warnings. 1 Timothy 4, I'll just read the first verse, because the others just can be a lot of different things, mean a lot of different things. 1 Timothy 4, 1. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, a doctrine of a demon is any teaching that takes away from the message of the cross. If the focus of our teaching and our ministry is not the cross of Jesus Christ, we are subject to being led by demons. I don't care how exciting, how good it may feel, you're subject to being led by a spirit that's not of God. They're called doctrines of demons. Because why? Satan does not want the world to hear the message of the cross. Now, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let me just read once again where Paul gives us a solemn warning. Paul says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God. Now, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Paul says, I want you to understand the focus is on his appearing and on his kingdom. That's the millennium kingdom. and on the second coming of Jesus Christ. He said, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, not only to me, and listen to the last part of this, but also to all who have loved the second coming. Loved his appearing. That is the message that is being lost today. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the longing of our hearts for him. And the message that we are hearing preached today, it pretty well leans to the fact that sin's all right, you're all right, I'm all right, sin's all right. God understands, don't worry about it. And you hardly ever hear the word repentance ever even being used to turn away from your sins, to change your mind about your sins and turn away from them. And so anyway, this is where we are, and this is where Christian Challenge is. We're refocusing, reaffirming the original vision, where this is going to take us. I can't promise you anything about that, but we are reaffirming, restructuring, realigning, looking at everything in this ministry with the board of counselors and whoever else we need in the future, and taking our time to do it. But everything in the ministry has to focus on one thing, the stewardship of mentoring and nurturing disciples. That means we may never be a great big ministry. I'm not worried about that. I have never been concerned about being a big ministry, folks. I'm concerned about disciples of Jesus Christ, of teaching, training, preparing people. For whether harvest means your next-door neighbor or whether it means going to Mexico, whatever it may mean, it's almost immaterial. It just means being trained, being prepared to serve God as we ought to. Amen? Now, before I ask Nathan to come and share with you, if you have any questions, I'd like you to ask them, anything you'd like to say. I want you to feel free to do that right now. And I'll do my best to answer anything that I can. Anyone. Make sure we have the mic for those that may have a question. Raise your hand if you have something you want to ask or something you'd like to say.
I want to know the restructuring and everything that you're talking about. Is there going to be different things or something that will involve the youth of the ministry?
One thing that we're doing, Sister Tina, is we're actively praying about bringing in a youth pastor. That's in the works right now. I mean, we don't have anything definitive set aside. We're praying about it. We're looking to bring a youth pastor on staff. But that's a need that's still part of the discipleship need. So we're looking at doing that. And when we do, what we'll have to do is bring a youth pastor where he'll only be part-time as far as until it builds up enough where we can afford to have a full-time youth pastor. But it's got to be somebody that's got the vision and the call to do that. You can't just hire somebody to do that. And he's got to be trained through our ministry. I mean, the reason we have the school, one reason, folks, is I want you to look at me and I want to look at you. I want you to look at this ministry. We want to know your heart. You need to know our heart. You need to know what the vision is. If you don't fit in your life, well, I mean, there's somewhere where it will fit for you. We're not against, you know, people come and go, folks. That's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. You need to be where God wants you to be. You just need to make sure you're where you're supposed to be. But to answer your question, yes, we're looking at that. Anyone else have a question or a comment or something you'd like to know? Was it covered pretty well, folks? My part? Okay. All right. Well, of course, Nathan can always answer questions also. Would you say God bless Brother Nathan? He's going to come and share now. Oh, I forgot to mention to you one last thing. You may wonder what this is doing here. This is the only relic we have from... I am a real good carpenter. I built this in 1976. This was our first pulpit. We had it in Boys 2.5. Yeah, I've always kept it. I use it for the school. But I did this with my own little hands. Isn't that nice? This thing is older than a bunch of you folks are in here. Anyway, this is where a lot of the preaching took forth.
You want to share with Alan's
letter? Yeah, I got a letter last night when Alan found out we were going to do this. Do you have it on the? Don't you share that with you, would please? I want you to see what Alan wrote me last night.
Can you not read that?
Go ahead and read it to him, Brother Nathan, if you would.
Okay. Hey, brother, I'm a fruit of the vision. The Lord richly bless you on Sunday, and may the sweet spirit of the Lord manifest himself in your midst. I have many, many rich memories of life development for over a decade with you in the ministry. Thanks for believing in my call from the Lord. Thanks for being patient with me, for never giving up on me, for holding me accountable, for loving me enough and having the courage to remove me from leadership when it would have been easier to leave me alone. I'm now mentoring young men myself. I'm now an elder in the body and hopefully moving towards being a spiritual father, according to 1 John 1:2. Thanks for investing so deeply for the kingdom. Thanks for Nathan. The bonds that have been built will never be broken and will last into eternity. Keep me posted as to what's going on there. Love y'all, Alan.
Amen.
As we talk about focusing and the vision, it's important for us to be able to clearly communicate the vision. And in this brochure that you received in your bulletin, hopefully you've had a chance to look through this. If you haven't done so yet, I just want to draw your attention to a couple of things. Specifically, inside, as you first open it up, you'll notice on the left-hand side below the picture of Brother Buddy, Sister Betty, with Brother Buddy and the guitar, the paragraph there, I want you to notice the part that is in bold. It says, over time I came to realize that stewardship is about nurturing and mentoring disciples for service in the kingdom of the Lord. And on the right-hand side, when it says Vision Sunday, and you see Brother Buddy and Sister Betty surrounded by roses, the last large column, paragraph, says, at the same time, we are renewing our focus on nurturing and mentoring disciples in the local body. Before that, it says some of this renewing has to do with extending the School for Christian Workers worldwide via the Internet. But at the same time, we're renewing our focus on nurturing and mentoring disciples in the local body. So as we re-examine what we're about, Brother Buddy said there are no sacred cows, and he hit one in 1975 just to prove it.
Right.
We are, with the Board of Counselors, in the process of talking about and examining aspects of the ministry. And this is going to be the litmus test. If you're familiar with the phrase litmus test, this is going to be the test that determines whether an activity or a program or an outreach is something that we want to be involved in. And that is, does it meet or does it contribute towards the meeting of the vision? Does it mentor and nurture or mentor disciples? If it's not contributing towards that, then it's not something that we need to be investing resources and time and energy in. If it is leading us towards that goal of nurturing and mentoring disciples, then it's something we're going to pour ourselves into. As Brother Buddy mentioned, we are actively praying about bringing on a youth pastor on staff. We're expecting the Lord to bring us an answer about that soon. Or hoping, I won't say expecting. We don't put any timetables on him. But we're anticipating that he has something for us in that direction. Another thing, though, in the idea of working with local ministry, and that is that the little yellow sheet you have in your bulletin talks about some opportunities for ministry. As this brochure said, at the same time, we're renewing our focus on nurturing and mentoring disciples. We believe that discipleship happens in the context of relationships. And discipleship also happens in the context of faithfulness. The word disciple and discipleships have to do with being disciplined. And so when we're looking to be disciples, one of the ways it contributes to that is through a faithful contribution of yourself in some form of ministry. And so as you look at this yellow sheet, it says, the stewardship of Christian Challenge is to nurture and mentor disciples for service in the kingdom of the Lord. I'd like to have changed this next sentence because I didn't catch it in time, but it says, one way you can contribute to our stewardship is through service to the local body. I would like that sentence to read, one way that you can contribute to you becoming a disciple, not just contributing to our stewardship, but one way that you can grow and develop and become a disciple is through service to the local body. We have wonderful opportunities for outreach, and what we'd like to do is share these with you. And as the next little paragraph says, please note, these are opportunities for service, not requirements by any means. And also know that by checking a box, in no way commits you. If you check the box on here that you might be interested in this, doesn't mean that after church today we're going to hang tie you, calf rope you, and say, all right, you're going to start Wednesday. No, it just means that it gives us a pool of people who have expressed a potential interest. For example, some of the opportunities for ministry are limited. There are only so many Sunday school teachers that are needed, or so many people on the worship team, or so many people that do certain things. And if 40 people sign up to be on the worship team, we won't have nobody to sing to. Well, we're going to be singing to him, but we won't have anybody to lead in singing to him. Or, you know, but at the same time, it gives us a pool of people who are interested and who, instead of us having to guess at who might be, you're indicating on your own what interest you may have. And so what we'd like to ask you to do is write your name where it says, please write your name. I think that's pretty self-explanatory. And then below there are some opportunities. If you have an interest in any of these, doesn't mean you're committing yourself. I want to really emphasize this. This does not mean you're committing yourself to it. It just says you're interested. You're interested in talking to us about the possibility of if this would meet your schedule and your life and if it would contribute to your development as a disciple. Then put a check mark. The boxes are way off on the right. So if it's hard for you to follow that line, you know, circle it, exit, star it. And Shanna has some pencils for everybody. So Shanna and a couple others will help pass those pencils out. All right, let me explain a couple of these to you that may not be obvious and clear. As you look down the left, some of them are. Worship team is very obvious, Sunday school teacher, board of counselors. The reason we included this on here is because for the last several years, we've had a requirement that for you to serve on the board of counselors, you need to be here at that July meeting. And that's important that you demonstrate that. From time to time, you have an issue where someone has an emergency or a family issue and they can't be here, but they would like to serve on that. Well, you can let us know this way, but another reason this helps us is that there are some folks who just don't want to serve, and we understand that as well, but this gives us a pool. We're getting ready in July to have a new round of Board of Counselors, selections by the body. So if you're interested in serving on the Board of Counselors, please select that. Ministerial training. If you feel like God's calling you to ministry, whether it's pulpit ministry or missions or any sort of type of formal training, we'd like to know about it. We'd like to know who among you senses a call of God to ministry so that we can pay some attention to you in a different way. Are you interested in going on short-term mission trips? Sign that. Would you be interested in youth ministries, local outreach? We used to call these institutional ministries, but it can be any sort of ministry that's outreach in our local community. If you have interest, check on that. Data entry. What this means is we have some information that we'd like to have in the computer. This can be typing in applications. It can be filling out. It can be scanning photographs into a database. Any type of that. If you have some spare time and you'd like to be involved in that, let us know. We'd love to have you. Love to know about that. Would you like to work with the sound with Marco and the sound team? There are times, as you know, he has to be out with military guard duty and things like that. It'd be nice to have a team of folks that are trained. Would you like to work with the video ministry, Brother Gary and with Brother David? That actually is encompassing different areas. We have different aspects of video. We're averaging over half a dozen folks are watching the live services over the internet every service. Wednesday night there were six, I believe, one from Canada. The other five were from different parts of the U.S., and so that's part of video, but we also have the potential for videotaping them and making the videos available locally and things like that. Kitchen team. This is both setting up for special events when we have jubilees or dinners on the grounds. I'd like to work with Sister Flo. Sister Flo has the leadership of that, but if you're interested in that. And this also, we're looking at as part of this restructuring, going back to our Wednesday night suppers. Those were so welcomed and so enjoyable by so many people, but at the same time, it can be a lot of strain on one person or one couple that leads it. And so if you would be interested in that and helping out maybe once a month, being a part of the Wednesday night supper team, check that off. On the right-hand side, School for Christian Workers Instructor. Some of you have been through the classes multiple times, and you could actually offer yourself as an instructor if you'd like to. We'd like to know about it. The next section is Mentor to Internet Students. What we're looking there is that as we begin our expansion of the classes on the Internet, one of the possibilities is that the classes will not run like they do here. Here you have to sign up at a certain date, and they run starting at a certain time, the end at a certain time. But on the Internet, we're looking at making people being able to sign up anytime they want, watch the videos, but they would need to be assigned someone who could help them with their homework or work assignments, their reading assignments, answer questions they have. And we'd like to match people up. If you'd like to be involved in that, please check off the mentor. Would you like to be in the school this fall, starting in September? Check there. Bible study group leader, visitation, intercessory prayer, drama, nursery. These are all pretty self-evident. If there's another area of ministry that we didn't list that you'd like to be involved in, write that there under other. And we're going to be praying about all of these and seeing how the Lord would direct us in giving you opportunities for service that will help you grow and mature and in your service become even more of a disciple. And as we shared, we are wanting to make sure that everything that we do meets this goal of nurturing and mentoring disciples. And so we are reexamining, and this afternoon our Board of Counselors will be doing some more intense discussion about those areas. And as I say, as the Board of Counselors shifts in July, it's going to be important that the Lord direct the four new members of the Board of Counselors to be the ones that He wants to help us continue this discussion. And we're examining all aspects of ministry, even as far as service schedules. And we want to make sure that all these things work together. Different types of ministries that are being done, Awana, Sunday school, all of the stuff is being examined in the light of, does it lead to nurturing and mentoring disciples?